to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Rosemary Ellen Guiley joining Gene and Chris in the Paracast. As we continue, we start answering your questions from forum.theparacast.com in a section called the Question Bank. But a few things came up that I just wanted to ask you here, Rosemary. I'm still a little dim about this, and I hope you'll take pains to make me understand better. How do we know it's Gene and not something else? Not E.T., not any other kind of creature?
Sometimes, Gene, it's very hard to know where one entity might leave off and another exists, so to speak. And I have told other paranormal investigators not to make immediate assumptions about what might be present, for example, in a persistent negative haunting. Don't jump to conclusions, because sometimes it takes a while to sort it all out. And there are lots of different kinds of entities that share similar characteristics. So I think what it boils down to with the Jinn a lot is that they are very formidable and powerful. They never go away completely. They have a vengeful or manipulative bent to them. It is possible to get rid of some low-level entities, for example, that might be occupying a place or a home, you know, residual energy left over from human death, which has no intelligent locus to it, is pretty easy to get rid of. You know, there are nature spirits and elementals and things like that that can be dispersed from an area. But the Jinn are very tenacious. They come back again and again. It doesn't matter what sort of exorcism you try, what sort of religious framework you want to apply to your exorcism. They are extremely resistant, and they have their own personal interest in mind. You know, this is not a religious thing with them, like the Christian demons who are, you know, trying to sell you into Satan's service. The Jinn are in it for themselves, and it gets very personal between you and them in terms of how you are infringing on their territory. So the bottom line here is that sometimes, let's say, for example, we have an entity that we think is a fairy, and another person might label that hostile entity acting out as a jinn. And is it a fairy or is it a jinn? It's a matter of interpretation. In fact, William Butler Yeats, who was a very good occultist as well as a poet and intensely interested in fairies, he made the comment over a century ago that fairies are how we are able to perceive them. And I think that's the case with all of these entities. We perceive them how we are able to and how they fit into our framework. Bullard and Vallée, some of the, you know, Keel, some of the early examiners of the ET encounters, Cynthia Hind in South Africa, all commented that beings who were being interpreted on a local level as fairies would be labeled ETs by Western researchers. So we have this liminal area that's very gray and shape-shifty that we're dealing with. And this actually is ideal territory for a very clever, smart, super intelligent entity like the Jinn, who is a masterful shapeshifter, to take advantage of. So sometimes we're going to explain things that just suits ourselves the best that we can. But what I'm saying is, if we look deeper, if we probe a little deeper, we're going to find that there is an entity underneath the surface who is participating in our perceptions of a wide range of supernatural beings with agendas that are not in our favor. Now, how do we get to the bottom of all of this? At this point, I'm not really certain, but what I'm trying to do is to bring the situation into a better light so that more researchers can apply their resources and tools of analyses and data collection to get a better picture, so that we do know, so that we do have a better supernatural footing.
Well, you bring up several very, very good points, and one of them is kind of the focus of a question by a longtime poster at forum.theparacast.com, who's named himself Spooky Mulder. He starts out by saying, you may answer this question in your book, which he hasn't read yet, but plans to. Why, if the djinn are a plasma-based life form and capable of taking many forms, why would they feel the need to do so? Is it because they want to conform to a certain belief system that the witness has, I would assume? Or maybe we decide what form they would take. In other words, I think his question is it a symbiotic thing in terms of how they manifest? Or are they totally, you know, would their free will decide to take and manifest a particular form?
According to the lore about them, the djinn have free will. And what I have seen from my own research and my own encounters with them and the work that I've done in cases where they've manifested is that they seem to have the ability and the will to choose an appearance that is going to have a desired effect on the people they're dealing with. And if you're afraid, then they will perhaps play that angle and take on a countenance that's going to be extremely frightening to you. If they are out to seduce you, they're going to be very pleasing and alluring in order to get you to open up to them. They may want your trust, and so they might appear in some sort of innocent, even childlike form. Nobody really knows exactly what the true form of the djinn is.
In the smokeless fire is how they're described in the Quran.
They are called smokeless fire, and nobody knows exactly what smokeless fire is, except a modern equivalent of it, could
plasma.
Possibly be plasma. Yeah. And they do seem to react to electromagnetic energy. Intense amounts of electromagnetic energy, which could even be in terms of turning on a lot of lights in a television set, will often disrupt the ability of the entity to remain present. Not always, but in quite a few cases. So this gives them a very fluid form. I have seen them as blobs, black blobs. I've seen them in human-like forms as pillars, as moving amorphous shapes, as swirling clouds of black, like black ink. I have seen the shadow person form dissolve into like black smoke and disappear. So they have this capability of changing their appearance, apparently at will, and also disappearing from this dimension at will as well.
Right. And of course, the famous version that we see in 1001 Arabian Nights is the genie, in this case, trapped in a bottle or a lantern. And when the lantern is rubbed or uncorked, then it's able to come out as like a form of smoke and manifest into what appears to be a human form. Of course, this has been sort of twisted and brought into a modern context, I think, by portrayals, you know, in the movies and stuff. But give us an example of how the djinn are actually divided into categories, because there are very distinct categories according to the Islamic tradition of how these entities are. I think it's a color coding system, actually, isn't it?
There are a number of ways of classifying djinn, and one of them is by color: black, red, blue, green, yellow. With green being a very young, immature djinn. And the black being very powerful, a ruler djinn, red also being very powerful, and probably, according to that color coding, the ones that we're most often interacting with from a problem point of view would be the black and the red. And if we're having sexual seduction experiences, it's likely to be from the other end, from the green end, because they develop attractions.
We'll cover that further in our next segment. Rosemary Ellen Guiley joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, Hey, neighbors, meetings are an essential part of any business. You know, making presentations to clients, collaborating with your colleagues. Well, make them as simple as possible to run and organize. Use GoToMeeting by Citrix, the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. With GoToMeeting, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds. Attendees can join with just a click from anywhere. Meeting materials are viewed on everyone's screen, making collaboration seamless. GoToMeeting is so easy to use for you and everyone joining your meeting. Plus, with GoToMeeting, hold as many meetings as you can for one flat rate. You have phone conferencing and voice over IP are included. You know, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PODCAST.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschommel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. Do you know the number one most valuable item in a crisis? Some people think the answer is gold. Others think it's a gun. But the correct answer will shock you. I just created a free video at crisis123.com that reveals a surprising item that is more valuable than gold in a crisis. 97% of Americans don't have this one critical item. In fact, they haven't even given it a thought. And the sad truth is that you may not survive without it when a real crisis hits and a starving mob is right outside your door. What I have to tell you could literally make the difference between life and death for you and your family. Watch my video at crisis123.com to discover the number one most valuable item in a crisis. You'll be shocked. See the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go watch my video now at crisis123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's crisis123.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, one thing that occurs to me, you mentioned this earlier in the show, Rosemary, and that is with the djinn, they could make it with humans, therefore have hybrid beings, therefore they have to be genetically related to us, right?
I suspect that there are hybrids of a variety on the planet and have been on the planet. We could speculate that human DNA has incorporated some of the characteristics into what we call human DNA.
So basically we're all mutts. We're a hodgepodge of everything.
I think we've been genetically manipulated from the get-go with all kinds
of... So maybe we have a gin gene.
A gin gene.
Oh, but please, yes, this is the worst pun of the century. They say, I do bad DJ jokes. Gin gene.
David Bowie had a song called Gin Genie.
That's right.
Why not?
The Gin Genie. Gene.
Or a gin gene.
Well, therefore, if you use my name, he needs to send me a check. Does that mean that David Bowie owes me some money?
Gene may have a gin gene, Gene.
It's the trickster.
That's what it is. I resemble that remark.
Since ancient times, there are legends of gin-human hybrids, and that these had kind of a... sometimes a monstrous appearance or something in their physical appearance that would give them away. They would have the powers of the jinn, so that made them very, very formidable. We have in our contemporary culture this whole ET abduction scenario going on where all of these people, you know, hundreds of people, probably thousands now that have come forward over the decades to talk about their abduction experiences and how they are creating these hybrid children with aliens. And we find an ancient precedent for that the jinn children would be more jinn than human, but could pass as humans under many circumstances. And it's been speculated by the abduction researchers that there are probably lots of hybrids walking around on the planet now as some sort of Trojan horse program at work. Well, the darkest interpretations of these is that this Trojan horse program is infiltrating the planet with hybrids who would have the allegiance to the aliens, but yet be able to exist among us and stay for prolonged periods in our dimension. Now, I'm not a conspiracy person by nature. I'm not an alarmist by nature. But I do think that there are some dark agendas going on in our entity contact experiences. They don't account for everything. I think positive experiences happen well, that there are benevolent and helping beings that are on the other side of the spiritual fence. But we do have this other problematic end of things that really can't be ignored.
And all you have to do is go to Washington, D.C., and we'll find some dark entities, believe me. Probably where a lot of hybrids are hiding.
You know, from the perspective of other cultures, yes, manipulative rulers and politicians would be accused of being under the influence of jinn or using jinn for their own gain.
Right, as you mentioned, this just happened in Iran several months back where some of the, was it the Ayatollahs or the imams that were pointing the finger at some of the politicians saying, you guys are dabbling in dark jinn forces and stuff. And that, what was it, the religious faction that was accusing the political faction? I forget exactly how that story went.
Well, when the accusations broke, it was the holy people, the sorcerers, and some of the, you know, the skilled holy people who...
Yeah, the imams.
The imams, these would be the people who would have knowledge of the jinn, are saying, well, yes, you know, it's some of these politicians are under the influence or using jinn for the wrong purposes. And there was... allegation. There have been allegations of that sort of thing going on for years. And
you had that example in your book of the one figure over there, I think in Pakistan, Daniel Pearl, who of course was beheaded and in a very gruesome way, was on his way to meet this guy who later was interviewed, I think, by Dan Rather or somebody from CBS News. And he, why don't you tell our listeners what he had to say about what he thought was going on? And I felt it was a very measured declaration and response to the news person, and rather sobering.
Indeed it was. And, you know, this was back in 2002 when all that happened. And yes, Daniel Pearl, who was kidnapped and beheaded, he was on his way to meet this sheikh and Mubarak Jilani. And Jilani gave an interview to CBS News after that. And, you know, the thrust of his message was, look, you know, the terrorists are not the ones you ought to be worried about. You really ought to be worried about the jinn, because they inhabit the earth and they can do all of these bad things. And they can be summoned and sent out to do terrorist things against people. And you really ought to be aware of that as well. And then there was a more recent story. This was just a couple of years ago, where a sorcerer was featured in the Wall Street Journal, and he gave a fake name, but he said that he controlled a lot of jinn, and that a lot of his clients were politicians who wanted the services of a jinn who would exert mental influences upon their adversaries to get them to do things that they wanted or to cause certain events to happen. And the jinn have a long-standing reputation being able to do that. But this sorcerer said, you know, he had jinn working for him who had infiltrated the CIA and who were part of the CIA and the Mossad and all these intelligence agencies around the world. Well, this stuff just sounds laughable to a lot of Westerners.
Well, the other thing would be, does that mean they basically can look exactly like a human being, and on the surface, be at least you can't tell the difference?
Well, the way I interpret it, and the way that I think what they're meaning, is that the jinn exert mental influence on
humans. Influence. They don't inhabit them or replace them. They get them to do things.
So they're like part of the CIA, but that they exist in their jinn form or spirit form to exert mental influences on human beings. Now, some of them can possess human beings on a temporary basis, and so they could literally inhabit somebody's body and operate out through that body, but they can also influence decisions and actions. And all of this, as I mentioned, sounds very laughable to a lot of Westerners. But as I point out in the book, it wasn't all that long ago that a Pope Pius XI, said he used angels the same way. So what's the difference? You know, the Pope said he sent his angels out to talk to other angels to influence people. And so what's the difference between that and a sorcerer sending jinn out to influence other people?
I'll tell you what, we're going to be influenced in this way. We have Rosemary Ellen Guiley joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has 3 different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, 3-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-455
457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money-back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Are you or someone you love struggling with stress, anxiety, or less than perfect health? Hi, this is Pastor Jenny, and as a woman of faith, I spent many years in ministry burdened with anxiety and fear. But in 2010, I met Dr. Carolyn Dean, and I took her recommendation to try RNA drops. Within days of taking RNA drops, my anxiety began to lift. My joy was restored, and the peace of mind that I would have once called a miracle has now become normal to me. Discover what RNA drops can do for you. Order your free sample today at www.rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. There you can order a free 30-day trial-size bottle of RNA drops by paying just shipping and handling. That's www.rnafreesample.com. Maybe there's a miracle waiting there for you.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So, are the jinn influencing humans, CIA agents, governments? What are they doing? The
book politicians. Boy, that would sure go a long way to explain some of these politicians' motives.
Except sometimes, therefore, I would conclude that the jinn aren't very smart. If the politicians are doing their bidding and coming up with some of the nonsense they come up with. Rosemary Ellen Guiley joining Gene and Chris. So, it may have started as a silly question, Rosemary, but the jinn, if they're sending messages influencing certain people, does that mean they do more stupid things or less stupid things?
I believe they do more dangerous things. Now, if we are indeed interacting with primarily with a hostile faction of jinn, that is, the jinn who have a terrorist agendas against us, and this would not characterize all jinn, but one of their endeavors would be to influence human beings who are corruptible, who are in positions of power. They would thrive on chaos, turmoil, destruction, adversarial relationships that would affect us financially and economically, from a health perspective, from a war and politics perspective. If you wanted to bring a society down as a terrorist, you would look for a variety of fronts to act out on. And if the jinn are capable of influencing and corrupting people, then yes, they would have the potential to have a hand in human events and affairs. And they may have been doing that throughout history.
And I wonder where the whole thing about the three wishes thing came from. Is that can we trace the history of that particular aspect of interrelation, having a interaction with a jinn back to the 1001 Arabian Nights, or does that three wishes and the genie is set free, does that have more ancient roots?
It's definitely ancient and goes back to some of the earliest folk tales about the jinn. I have not pinpointed an exact origin myself, but the whole idea of three wishes is even not completely true, because in some of the old folk tales, nobody's limited the three wishes. Take the story of Aladdin and his lamp. There's a genie in the lamp, and he conjures the genie out, and it becomes his servant. And he has unlimited wishes, whatever he wants. And he winds up being rich and powerful and, you know, gets a princess for a bride, and, you know, things work out pretty nicely for him, and there's no limit to the three. But this format of the three wishes seems to be a staple of a lot of kinds of fairy and folk tales. And the format is always the same. Is the first wish is good, the second not so good, and the third wish either total disaster or it's used to undo the other two. And always with the adage of be careful what you wish for.
I wonder why in these fairy tales or folk tales, the person doesn't go, I want 10 wishes as my first wish. You know, I always thought that, even as a kid, I thought, well, why wish to be rich and famous or all powerful when you can wish for more wishes?
I wish to have unlimited wishes. There you go. You would think that would be the first one.
But, yeah, well, you better watch out because, boy, you can inadvertently wish some things that you really didn't wish for.
You know, even the X-Files had a genie episode where there's a genie in a rug that's unrolled and, you know, she gives Fox Mulder three wishes. And I think his first wish is for peace on the planet. So she erases all the human beings but him. Well, you got peace on the planet.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure what season that was, but and in fact, all of these stories, people had to word their wishes very carefully, but the genie would always find a way around it.
Right.
The genie, of course, would be very capable of parsing the language and finding things to trick us with. Therefore, the genie must work as lawyers.
They're pretty sharp. They would make excellent lawyers.
Make excellent scum-sucking bottom feeders. Oh, sorry.
Well, we're insulting the djinn. You know, if we have any djinn, Chris, if we have any djinn listening to the show, and we're not talking about people drinking djinn, we're talking about, you know, the supernatural creatures. Well, that's an interesting question here.
Yeah, do you like gin and tonics?
Well, I have a little story to share, and this is just it's kind of a silly little story, but a couple of years ago, I was heading out to the UFO Congress, and I had to change planes in Nashville, and there was some sudden mechanical failure, and we got stuck at the airport for 6 or 7 hours before they could get another plane, and so I missed, like, the whole first day. I was just very upset, but when we got on the plane, on the plane that they brought in to finally take us to Arizona, and the flight attendant came to take people's drinks, everybody around me ordered a gin and tonic. I kid you not.
And the flight attendant's name was Ginny.
Probably so.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. You know, the expectant parents, be very careful with female names that sound like Genie, Ginny. You may be creating a monster. So what are some of your favorite cases that really leave no room for interpretation in your mind that what you were dealing with was one of these djinn-type entities?
Well, there's a case that I've got going on right now in West Virginia where it's a piece of land that is in one of these portal areas. And you find all sorts of things going on for a long period of time. I've had an opportunity to interview generational members of an extended family who've lived for decades in that area, and shadow people, ghosts and apparitions, blobs that run on the land, entities called grave robbers. And I've got reports of them from other states as well, sometimes they go by other names. But the djinn, I find, seem to especially like weird hybrid forms. And I think they account for a lot of the mysterious creatures that people encounter out in remote areas, the animals that should not be because they seem to be combinations of things. And the grave robbers are combinations of pigs, armadillos, crocodiles, and what even might be ascribed as a chupacabra-like appearance. And they're often seen in cemeteries where they're tearing up the land looking for bones to eat. ET activity, mysterious lights and craft in the sky, Bigfoot sightings, and what the distinguishing characteristic is of cases like this is that there seems to be a resident presence on the land that is unfriendly to hostile, something that has kind of an overarching presence that people sense. And sometimes people will volunteer to me that they think that this presence takes a variety of forms. And I do believe that that's the case, that in some of these heavily haunted areas, it's a single entity who is responsible for all these forms.
Rosemary, just wondering, when you finished that phrase, I heard all sorts of noises like a headset was dropping. What's going on?
I have no headset on, Gene, and I have found that whenever I talk about Jin on Skype or by phone, there is some interference in the line. Quite often it's a clicking sound, and I don't hear the clicking, but the other people hear the clicking. Sometimes there's a tapping or some even screeching sounds. I've had that where screechings and wails will erupt. It's as though there's a certain kind of entity eavesdropping on the line, and I think they do that.
I think we're lucky then, only a few minor sounds. And by the way, coming next week on the PowerCast, we'll hear from Grant Cameron. His new book is called UFOs, Area 51, and Government Informants. Next week on the PowerCast. With Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Gene and Chris, you're in
the PowerCast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hey, neighbors. Meetings are an essential part of any business. You know, making presentations to clients, collaborating with your colleagues. Well, make them as simple as possible to run and organize. Use GoToMeeting by Citrix, the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. With GoToMeeting, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds. Attendees can join with just a click from anywhere. Meeting materials are viewed on everyone's screen, making collaboration seamless. GoToMeeting is so easy to use for you and everyone joining your meeting. Plus, with GoToMeeting, hold as many meetings as you can for one flat rate. You have phone conferencing and voice over IP are included. You know, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PODCAST.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
The National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, presented by Triton Shelter Technologies, will be held March 16th and 17th at the Nashville Expo Center and Tennessee State Fairgrounds. Admission is free and doors open at 9 a.m. Come join us to learn life-saving techniques to help you and your family handle crisis situations. Meet Nat Geo's Dennis McClung to see if you have what it takes to be on the next season of Doomsday Preppers. Walk through a bomb shelter, learn first aid, CPR, and much more. For more information, go to npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
And while you're at the NPS Expo, meet and speak with Dr. Joel Wallach, host of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. If you take pharmaceutical drugs and wonder why side effects require you to take more drugs, Nobel Prize nominee Dr. Wallach has the answer. Hear how he took on the FDA 8 times and won every time. Don't miss Dr. Joel Wallach at the National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, March 16th and 17th. Admission is free. Log on now to npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
Chris is taking on his Jin voice, or maybe his voice after having Jin. Which is it, Chris?
Well, I'm just trying to be creative here, but it's not working, evidently. I have a really interesting question. It's right along the lines of what we were just discussing before we went to break, Rosemary. And this comes from Bits Missing, one of our longest posters. I mean, he's been posting here almost 6 years, and we don't get many questions from him at forum.theparacast.com, but we got a good one this time. He asked, Bigfoot, a cryptid, dimensional creature, or djinn? For all of you in the USA, big hairy beasts, sometimes with glowing red eyes, have a long European tradition as well. Nick Redfern recently wrote about this and the lack of any real food sources to support such a beast. A recent local sighting here, the beast of Tunbridge Wells, has to do with a terrified walker who claims a 8-foot-tall creature with demonic red eyes and long arms roared at him. And we're talking about, for those of you who don't know, Tunbridge Wells is a rather large, posh, almost commuter town, only 40 miles from London in the densely populated southeast of England. And he ends by saying the Pacific Northwest, it is not. Well, how about that? You're saying that the djinn can possibly manifest and look and appear to be other types of entities. What about Bigfoot? Do you think there's a chance that Bigfoot might somehow be tied in with this?
Absolutely, Chris. I think the djinn are messing around in all of our entity encounters. I've always considered mysterious creatures like Bigfoot, Dogman, Mothman, and other weird entities to be interdimensional, that they're not lost species on Earth just happening to exist in remote areas. They're interdimensional, and that's why we find no logic to their appearances, their dietary habits, the lack of bodies, and that sort of thing. Interestingly, I receive a lot of reports from England about djinn-like entities, and it could very well be that there are lots of very active portals in England.
So another question from Blowfish. And after that, I want to find out from you why shadow people are often reported with hats on, which I find kind of curious. But he wants to know, some eyewitnesses have encounters with hooded creatures with no faces or just red eyes before a death in the family. What are your thoughts on these encounters? I had never heard that. Have you?
I have indeed, Chris. This is an association with shadow people that... some of them are death omens, like almost like a banshee kind of character. They're seen right before somebody in a family passes away. And this is a pattern with some shadow people experiences, especially if they involve generational lines. It's as though these entities have attached to particular lineages and keep appearing, probably for a variety of reasons. The shapes of shadow people, most common is of a tall, what appears to be a man in silhouette, wearing a cape or coat and a hat, anywhere from detective-like hats to big floppy sombrero-like things, stovepipe hats like we would think, you know, an Abraham Lincoln hat. Why the hat? If they don't have a hat, then sometimes it looks like they have a hood or a cowl. The important thing that jumps out is it's disguising the head. It could be that when they shapeshift into that kind of form, they don't get the head right. There's something about the head that's perhaps misshapen or would give them away, and that may be part of the reason. Another potential reason is they've discovered that this particular kind of form, something shrouding the head, makes the figure more sinister and mysterious to us.
I actually had a report where someone reported a silhouetted figure, and they said, I know this is going to sound crazy, but it had a hat on. And it always kind of puzzled me until I became aware of your work, Jason Offit, David Weatherly, and others who have really, really gone into the shadow person phenomenon in depth. And lo and behold, I find out that a fairly sizable percentage of encounters or sightings feature a being with a hat. One of the things that fascinated me about your new book, The Jinn Connection, is how you equate, and you mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but we didn't really get into it, how these angelic forms, the cherubim, the seraphim, the nephilim, how there may be a connection there with the jinn. And I don't think we went far enough in depth about that, because it is an important part of your book, and that's where the scholar, Rosemary the scholar, comes out. Because I mean, every page I was learning, you know, fact after fact after fact about ancient history and how they viewed these classifications of beings. Why don't you give us a quick thumbnail sketch of that section of your book and how these entities and beings are classified?
One of the purposes of the book is to prompt people to reevaluate our entity contact experiences. Do we really know who we're dealing with? And in regard to the angels, well, in today's popular culture, angels are all good. They're nice, friendly, sometimes a little too cutesy, but they're always helpful and they always have our best interests in mind. And while this does describe a primary duty of angels to intercede on our behalf in helpful ways, it's not the only view of angels. And in fact, our ancestors were more frightened of angels. The biblical human being quaked in fear if an angel showed up, because it probably meant that God was displeased and was sending an angel to punish or warn. Angels in ancient times were God's disciplinarians. They were
ask the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Exactly. The angel who, you know, goes over the Passover angel who wreaks all the destruction. And the angels didn't hesitate to carry out instructions that were very damaging to human beings and even fatal, if that's what God said. Now, we've had many reevaluations of angels over the centuries, and we've organized them into hierarchies. There have been lots of hierarchies. Angels that are described as both good and bad. Angelology can be quite confusing sometimes. We have a 9 hierarchy system today that's become the dominant hierarchy. And the 2 highest ranks of angels are very peculiar in their origins. And I think we must raise questions as to whether or not there are jinn mixed in there. Because remember, angels and jinn, according to some of the creation stories, those were the beings that preceded humans, and could there be a little intermingling there? Well, the seraphim and cherubim are the 2 highest in our present hierarchy, and they have associations that could make a jinn involvement in their ranks very likely. The seraphim were in ancient times known for their fiery nature, fiery serpent nature. And they're never really described as angels. The seraphim and the cherubim are not called angels in the Bible. They're called by these other names. So the connection with the fire and the serpents among the seraphim and with the cherubim, they have an association to Assyrian hybrid entities, the caribou, who were guardians of places, of buildings and temples. They had the heads of humans and the bodies, so they were had winged bodies that looked lion-like. And the cherubim were set as guardians over the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve were thrown out, they were, I liken them to bouncers. They were supposed to keep Adam and Eve out after the fall. Solomon employed cherubim to guard the Ark of the Covenant and the Temple of Jerusalem. And if these, if they were originally hybrid entities from the Middle East, Assyria, Babylonia, ancient Persia, Mesopotamia, Samaria, Arabia, where the jinn originated, might the origins of some of these high-level angels, these fierce angels, really have been jinn? So we may not have good answers right now, but we have to reevaluate these things and ask different questions and be open to some very unsettling possibilities.
You know what? Before we get unsettled by our advertisers, we might be working for the jinn, or it might be under their direction. I don't know. Now they're all going to leave us just because I said that silly thing. Rosemary Ellen Guiley joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.